So the process of integration that was discussed extensively in the previous few slides has to be one of a shared responsibility. It's not just upon the new entrant, it is also the responsibility of the people across the value chain in the organization. Now this particular concept is facilitated through three different dimensions which we see over here. So these are recruitment and selection, the second is orientation, and the third one is organizational socialization. So each one of them, it requires a separate discussion. Hence, from the following slides, we will discuss each in further detail. So the first dimension is that of recruitment and selection or recruiting. So successful integration requires a realistic description of the needs of the position. Now this of course holds commonality with the other job vacancies as well, because if they are not in tight allegiance or cognizance with the need of the job, then it would prove futile, right? So this is no different. Outlining job related skills and abilities is therefore an important first step in this process. So a very clear list of job description has to be a mandate in this process, because here the risks are heightened. Yeah. So honestly, assessing the organizational culture and thereupon the factors that are key in navigating successfully inside the company is another key component to consider prior to launching the recruitment process. So this might span days and months, but is something which is that of a useful exercise to be done. The second dimension, of course, is that of orientation. Okay. Now, what is orientation? Orientation is nothing but going in the same direction as the organization that they are going to join. So are the new entrants oriented properly? Do they have a sense of the direction that the organization is going to? So this is important. So on a psychological basis, orientation to the new company begins once the individual has accepted the position. Orientation therefore incorporates a wide range or a gamut of activities, including of course introduction to the key people, learning new policies and procedures, and surveying the lay of the land. So what is lay of the land? It is how, what is the landscape, who are the people, how are they functioning, what are the current practices? That's nothing but the lay of the land. The last defining dimension or factor in integration as a shared responsibility is the organizational socialization process. So too often organizations stop thinking about executive integration after a month or two of the orientation. So once they're joined, the excitement dies down, they just stop the integration. But for long-term success, or for ultimate success as put here in words, the process should be that of a longer term, which is known as organizational socialization. So there should be more programs, more outbounds, more residentials, more one-on-one meetings of the executive with members of the value chain. So important milestones during this period, include fitting into the culture of the company and learning informal rules. So there are many things which lie beneath the surface of formality, which need to be discussed as a part of the onus by that specific executive joinee. Yeah, so this is going to help them generate a broad-based perspective, okay, for the organization. Now, of course, another element is the anticipation of conflict and the management of change. So when change happens, so I was reading this wonderful book on change called as Switch recently, okay, and it speaks that change is disturbing in the beginning, is difficult in the middle, yet once the change is fully absorbed, it becomes enjoyable. Yeah, so change becomes amenable at the end, but if it is properly managed. So the CEOs or the executives need to anticipate conflict between various groups of employees because of their experience and expectations. So when they're joining with a challenge at hand already. Yeah. So the mission of the senior leadership is clearly, okay, is to clearly define the desired culture, then communicate that culture effectively to all members. So one of the premises of this executive joining may be because an earlier executive has failed to produce. Get my point? So conflict is at a paramount level, and this has to be addressed by the new CEO or CFO or CTO or executive for that matter. Now let's look at some of the new dynamics in executive recruitment, some of the new developments that have happened in the recent years, in the recent months. So successful employers understand the implications of shifting demographics and psychographics. Yeah. So shifting facts related to how, you know, the different factors related to the current industry work, and will respond to them in the context of their own organization in order to position themselves for a successful future. So times are much more competitive than ever, and smart organizations have recognized the value of their top employees and are investing in their retention. So, you know, it's a saying in the recruitment market that it's worthy or wise to retain your people rather than recruit new ones. So this is also something important. So it involves showing employees recognition, correct, sensitivity, respect, appreciation, and assuring them of a sense of longer term financial security. So what are some of the things that are happening globally are being now integrated into Indian organizations as well in order to retain the executives. So this has also brought about a resurgence in counter offers. So today when executives inform their bosses that they have been offered a better opportunity, the boss often responds with a counter offer and sweeteners. For example, you know, a CEO of X company has gone to the MD's cabin, the person who's founded the organization, and informed them about an offer from a Y company. So the boss or the MD, in order to retain this efficiently working CEO, can offer a counter. So I believe this is now, you know, become simpler. An organization is, as we know, only as good as the people it employs, right? So as you know, today we are in the Industrial Revolution 4.0, Industry 4.0, and this has come full circle, right, from the first version where people slowly lost their prominence to machines, and now the prominence is increasing. Hence, many organizations today, they have redefined the HR department or division, and they call it as an HCM, a Human Capital Management Department, right? So if organizations want to survive and thrive beyond the current year, we are at the end this year, they will need to respond to the new powerful dynamics in hand. Now, this is a latest Korn Ferry report. So Korn Ferry is a prestigious you know, survey organization, research organization on the global front. According to it, according to this recent report, there is a need to look beyond financial goals to consider the needs of all their people. So treat employees as human beings, not parts of a machine. Yeah. So Industry 1.0, it tended to create people and look at them as a machine, as a well-oiled machine. Today we are again moving away from this. It's essential to break down silos and overcome remote working challenges to ensure people feel connected to the company purpose and vision. Now, when a survey was done by PwC and Deloitte, who are equally reputable organizations, they found one of the major reasons for an attrition was the disengagement, and categorically more disengagement, which has happened in the recent years of the pandemic. where people are working from home. And if you notice a new recruitment of a CEO, there would be, it would be a daunting task to connect to people, because these people, they don't frequently come to the workplace like they used to. Yeah. So when I'm consulting and training for various IT organizations, I see the office literally empty, because people, they don't have to come to work every day. Let's continue with the new dynamics. So we are now, as termed rightly, as the COVID has subsided, we are in a post-COVID economy. So year 2019, last part of it, 2020 and 2021 was spent fighting COVID. Now we are, you know, overcoming the influence, subsiding of the waves. So we are in a post-COVID economy. And this economy is seeing strong competition for top talent across sectors. And of course, fortunately, there is no slowdown in demand for leaders. Yeah. So counter offers and multiple competing offers, you know, they are increasingly creating a challenging operating environment. Now, you know for whom? This is for recruitment professionals such as you and I. Yeah. So in this regard, special attention to detail and communication between accepted offers and start date are critical. Increasingly, companies are putting their employees in stretch jobs because there just isn't enough talent to go around, and they feel, due to the pressure of the business, there isn't time to go out and look into the market. So hence, normal recruitment professionals are working in the roles, in enhanced roles of retained executive search firm employees. So it's important also to get the requisite quality and give them the proper training in order to, you know, cater to the new dynamics in executive recruitment. Also, it seems safer to go with the employee you know and trust and try to develop him rather than risk. So here we are looking at an internal job promotion for people who've manned positions in the C-suite to rise higher. So at times an organization might identify its CTO who could do a dual job or be promoted to a CEO or a COO who could do it. Yeah, so this is what is meant over here. Now let's, before we close this particular chapter, look at the adoption strategies by organizations. So the role of executive search firms and in-house corporate recruiters is becoming more important than ever. As I've mentioned, human capital partners in this war for talent, you know, is heating up in the atmosphere. In fact, developing a close working relationship with a search firm partner is an important element in the company's strategy to gain access to the best available candidates. So this is something which we need to be extremely mindful about. Again, we are, you know, continuing with our discussion related to this topic of adoption strategies by organizations. So search firms have adjusted quickly and effectively to the remote environment. So this is what we need to understand. Now, why a remote environment? Because of the influence of the pandemic. Yeah. So there was a minimal return to in-person engagement, as I've just stated in the example, though that swiftly dialed back with the pandemic research. So, you know, we've experienced certain waves in the past year. So luckily, in Indian scenario, it's subsided. Yeah, we are operating without masks now. But the global economy, some places, they are still taking time for a resurgence. So the economy will continue to see the bulk of work unfold remotely throughout this year. As we talk, the year's ending, still there is a remnants. Yeah, you can see it clearly in the various organizations where support functions, if it's manufacturing, they still are not up to the full numbers. IT services, still not to the full numbers. So reports also hint at a strong push for in-person engagement with search consultants and candidates as people learn how to live with COVID as an endemic virus. Now, what is endemic? Endemic is it's localized now. Yeah, and since people have been vaccinated, the levels that we have of our immunity have risen, and of course we are now we are taking precautions and we are living with this endemic virus. Again, in the same context, search firms are best utilized in a true partnership and consultative role where they have access and input to the client's strategic plans. So again, we are talking about the retained executive search firms who have also stepped up their game, correct? So what they've done is they have come up the curve and they are, you know, in a continuous alliance, a strategic or a rapport-based relationship. Now, what this does is it permits or allows them to make suggestions on organizational structures. They also take a proactive approach to position. So there's a sense of anticipation and a well-calculated speculation that they have. So it becomes a proactive rather than a reactive approach. And then the time to deliver is reduced, correct? The time to fill is reduced, which is a key factor which we've understood in one of our initial chapters. And of course, offer a viewpoint on competitive marketplace events and information. So succession planning is another important strategy. Now, when I have been a part of the assessment centers, I have witnessed this firsthand. Of course, I was not a part of assessment centers where I saw the CEO getting promoted to the CEO or the CFO being there, but I was able to see succession planning happening at a slightly lower level, correct? Like the AGMs and DGMs being promoted to GMs. In some places, the general managers being promoted to the directorial level or the vice president or the AVP levels. So this is a useful exercise where companies analyze the existing talent and plan for succession accordingly. So companies who prepare proactively for a change in the leadership or corporate restructuring will avoid costly issues down the road. I think this is self-explanatory, because if a sudden void would be created, you would be paying heavy sums to an executive, you know, search firm or a retention firm. But if it's done in-house properly and of course with the help of consultants, this would be a fruitful effort. So thus we have completed this brief chapter on executive search, which has offered us a very different perspective on recruitment than the earlier chapters. So here we were able to look at the fitment, we were able to look at the 4-point integration plan, we were also able to see what are the current developments, you know, in a post-pandemic environment. Thank you.